All right, there we go. I think I was speaking with a muted microphone. Let me start again. So good to have you join us. Welcome to Warden Full Gospel Assembly, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Happy New Year to everyone. Glad that you have joined us. Take a moment and greet one another with a Happy New Year if you haven't already done so. I want to talk today about preparing for a new year. A person's happiness is primarily determined by two things. Number one, your willingness to change. And number two, your willingness to be changed by God. If you don't have the desire to change, there's usually a tendency to perpetuate the same old problems and issues that you've experienced in the past over and over and over again. You start each year with the same problems, the same old hang-ups, the same responses to the issues of life, and making the same mistakes over again. And the end result, if you don't have a desire to change, the end result is that you never grow and mature. It's been said that we usually change when we see the light. When there's a revelation, perhaps a confession, perhaps a bad situation that triggers some past memories. And that's why I believe every year, when we start a year, every person, myself included, every single person has the opportunity to identify things in their life, whether those things are revealed by the Holy Spirit or by your own personal willingness to change and to create new motivations. Every single person, every single year, you have that opportunity. There's something very interesting, especially if you follow biblical numerology. The number 8 in the Bible has to do with new beginnings. A friend of mine, Velson Abraham, used to say, part of the good news, listen to this, part of the good news is that it is never too late to begin a new adventure with God. So 2021 can be a year of new beginnings. Despite all the negativity surrounding COVID pandemic, this year can be a new adventure with God. This year can be a new opportunity to start and perhaps even point your lives into a new direction. Now, as you take a moment and you begin to think about this new year that is ahead of you, that's in front of you, specifically, you need to understand that all of us will be facing many new situations. You will face perhaps new problems. You will face new pressures. And within this world, we are dealing with this hideous pandemic. You will feel a lot of perhaps uncertainty in life. But at the same time, the year that's in front of us, you also can experience incredible new possibilities. And with each of these scenarios, it will require a new response. Whether it's new problems that you face, whether it's new pressures that you experience or new possibilities, they will require a new response, a new attitude, perhaps a new adjustment, a new action. And so with this in mind, I just want to talk for a few moments about what this year will require of me. The first thing I'd like to submit to you as I've been thinking about this new year is a new year will require you to make and have a new attitude when you face problems. Unfortunately, in this new year, all of us are going to experience problems, we are going to experience difficulties, and I'm not trying to be negative or pessimistic, it's part of the reality of living life. There will be some problems in life that will be small. There will be some problems in life that will be bigger. All of us, in some capacity, will face difficulties in this new year. And when we face difficulties, it's going to require of us to embrace new attitudes. Have you ever felt like you should get on your knees and pray? And maybe some of you have already done this. Get on your knees and pray and say, Lord, I think I've learned enough for a while. If you don't mind, I would just like to coast, to sit back. I just want to relax and enjoy life. I've gone through all these immense difficulties. I just want to relax and enjoy life. I don't want any more crises or problems or situations that make me feel uncomfortable. And a lot of times the Lord replies, it says, I'm not going to remove the problems from you, but I am going to make you into a stronger person so that you can handle the situations that are confronting you. Listen, listen. One thing that we can be absolutely sure of is this. God never puts more upon you than you can bear. Notice what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. The temptations in your life are no different what others experience. In other words, we're going to experience difficulties, frustrations, problems, sometimes overwhelming. But notice this, and yet God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. And when you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. And Lamentations chapter 3, verse 20 to 23. I will never forget this awful time as I grieve over my loss. Yet I still dare to hope when I remember this. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. In other words, what these two Bible scripture verses are telling us, and what these verses are speaking into our life is this. The power that you need today, the strength that you need today, whatever you are facing, the power you need for today is available to you today. And the power and strength that you need tomorrow will be available to you tomorrow as well. You can't solve tomorrow's issues and problems with today's solutions. New problems require a new attitude and a new focus. In his book, Teaching the Elephant to Dance, James Blasco talks about how trainers shackle young baby elephants with heavy chains around their ankles, attached to a deeply embedded stake into the ground. That way, this young elephant learns to stay in place. Older elephants never try to leave, even though they have the strength at this point in time in their life to pull the stake out of the ground, yet they never leave because their conditioning from the time they were very young has limited their movements. Eventually, there are no stakes in the ground. It's only a small bracelet that is wrapped around the elephant's ankle and foot. And the elephant, yet, even though it's not attached to the stake, remains in place. But when the circus tent catches on fire, the elephant sees flames and smells the smoke, it forgets about all the old training and all the conditioning behavior that it's been embraced, and it runs for its life. Unfortunately, so many people are bound and constrained by conditioned restraints in their lives. And it's an attitude that says, we've always done things this way, and when we have that kind of attitude that we embrace, following the same old routine, day after day after year, it limits our growth and it limits our progress. Sometimes we as people get so locked into our opinions and our approach, our attitudes and our mindset that it almost becomes like a diaper to us. Sometimes it has to be changed because our thought processes and our situations and our attitudes toward them begin to stink. And therefore, God allows us to experience difficulties and problems because he wants to change our attitudes. He wants to change our old prejudices. He wants to change our old ways of thinking. And he wants us to embrace what is available to us today and the process that we need to go through in order for us to grow and become the people that he wants us to become. If we have no willingness to change, we can't grow. And God wants all of us to grow and to mature. And so when we go through difficulties, we grow because God wants us to learn, to depend upon Him, and to see new things about ourselves so that we can make changes in our lives. The second thing, or the second requirement that I was thinking about as we approach a new year, is that when I face pressures, it's going to require of me to make some adjustments in my life. I don't have to tell you this, but all of us know the world is constantly changing. They keep telling us, if you watch television enough, they keep talking about this new normal that will affect all of our lives once this COVID virus has passed. And whether you like it or not, lots of change is coming, and changes are already here. And the happiness in your life going forward is going to be based on your ability to adapt and to adjust to the multitude of changes that are taking place. And if you're a normal human being like I am, we don't like change. It's very natural for us not to like change. We like security. We like things that are familiar. We like the predictable. We don't like change. But unfortunately, we can't grow without change. In fact, some people have predicted that in the next 5 years, there will be more changes taking place in our society than has occurred in the last 50 years. If I were to sum up the key to a successful marriage with one word, it would be this word: adjustment. Because so many times in marriage, opposites come together. It's amazing to me, and sometimes I have to smile of how things happen when people come together and the traits that they bring into a relationship, and sometimes how different they are to make a relationship work. One person may be objective, the other person in a relationship may be subjective. One can be very emotional, the other one not very emotional. One may have very good health, the other one may be in poor health. One likes sports, and the other couldn't care less about any sport. Two very different people. And two people, if they're going to coexist together, if they're going to come together and have a relationship, they are going to have to adjust in order to compensate for each other's idiosyncrasies and quirks. But more than that, in a relationship, if it's going to remain vibrant, you're going to have to change. I am not married to the same woman that I married 40 years ago. Oh yes, Gabby is still the same person, but yet she is different in a lot of ways. And I am also a different person. Over the course of 40 years of a marriage relationship, we both are still people, but we are different. I'm changing. I have changed. I have changed in so many areas, and she has changed in so many areas. We are both continually changing and growing and maturing. You see, if you're going to have a successful relationship, there has to be adjustments that are made. You either have to grow together or you grow apart. There's no such thing as a static marriage. So realistically, as you take time to evaluate your life, and you look and reflect upon your life, realistically, your life is made up of many, many habits. Most of everything you do in life is habitual. The way you get up in the morning, the way you take a shower, the way you eat, the type of foods you eat, the way you dress, the way you work, the way you respond to people, the way you respond to your spouse. Life is made up of largely of many, many habits. And life can become very routine, somewhat boring, somewhat complacent, because everything that you do follows a process, follows a habit. Habitual ways of thinking, habitual ways of acting or responding, habitual ways of how you spend money and how you accumulate and try to get out of debt. There are habitual ways in how you approach people and how you speak to people and how you engage people. And if you are to grow this year, if you are to become a person who is maturing in 2021, let me tell you this. I will have to tell you that you will have to change some of those habits. Next year is going to require you to make adjustments in your life. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23 and verse 24 says these words. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Did you notice the words? New thoughts, new attitudes, new nature. Your whole life is a constant character-changing process. Your whole life is in this mode of character-changing. Why do you think that is? Because God wants you to become more and more Christ-like. He wants you as a follower of Jesus to become more like Jesus. And so in order for that to happen, there has to be adjustments made. There have to be changes made. You can't follow the same patterns that you followed all along in life. There's a very interesting verse found in Mark chapter 2, verse 22. Notice what it says. No one puts new wineskin or new wine into old wineskins, for the wine would burst the wineskins, and the wine and the skins would both be lost. New wine calls for new wineskins. Even in Bible times, people already knew that you can't put new wine into old wineskins because the fermentation of the juice would cause it to expand, and as it would expand, it would split the old wineskins, which was not very supple like new wineskin. And old wineskin becomes rigid and tough and unbending and unflexible. And unfortunately, in life, a lot of people are like old wineskin. We get caught up in our ways, our ruts, our habits, our traditions, our old ways of thinking. And then new experiences come along and it blows us apart. Listen to this very closely. God's kingdom, and if you are a participant in God's kingdom, God is active and creative in his kingdom. And therefore, it requires of me adjustments and new ways of acting and new ways of thinking, because God is continually working to bring about his purposes in this world. And so today, we face a great temptation, similar to the people that Jesus was addressing in Mark chapter 2, verse 22, with this parable. We become nervous and resistant, even inflexible, when we are encouraged by the gospel message to new ways of doing things or new ways of being. We would rather prefer the old wineskins because they are familiar and they are more comfortable to us. They are more reassuring to us. Yet today we must ask ourselves these questions. How does the gospel compel me to act in a time of a global pandemic? How might I learn to love my neighbors in a new way? How does the reign of God presently impact our efforts to bring justice into society? You see, if you believe that God is calling you to make adjustments in your life to your life patterns, or get rid of some habits that are detrimental to the way you live, or maybe adjust your thinking in certain ways, it will come down to this question. Will you trust God? Or not? Will you trust God or not? God wants to do a new thing in each one of our lives this year. This is a new opportunity, a new, brand new year where God can do a new thing in each one of our lives. And sometimes those adjustments may be minor adjustments. And sometimes this new thing means radical reordering of your life. And may you be open to the Holy Spirit's leading in this year, where you will allow the Spirit of the living God to speak into your life when you see things, or maybe He will reveal things to you that need to be changed or adjusted. And sometimes your thinking needs to be processed in a different way. Are you willing to surrender? Are you willing to surrender to the promptings of God? Because what we're talking about here is trusting God. And that means I need to relinquish that which is familiar and comfortable and known to me. Stuff that I would like to control, and relinquish it to the new pattern that God may want me to exist in life. And here's the last point. In 2021 isn't going to be all bad. Oh yeah, we'll have difficulties. All of us will have problems and heartache and hardship to a certain degree. All of us will experience that. There will be pressure to change our habits and our processes of how we live life. But also in 2021, please be reminded that there's going to be new opportunities. From this day, January 10th, 2021, there are 355 days left. 355 days of boundless, unlimited opportunities. And it will require of you new actions. I once read about farmers in southern Alabama who planted one crop every year. Every year, this crop was planted. It was cotton. Year after year after year, cotton was planted. Cotton is what they lived on. They sold cotton, they produced cotton, they lived by cotton. Then one year, the boll weevil insect devastated all of southern Alabama. The farmers would mortgage their homes, and yet they would continue to plant cotton the next year. And that dreaded insect would come back, and would come back, and every year it destroyed all the cotton again. By the third year, the farmers decided, we need to plant something else, something that they'd never thought of planting before, and it was peanuts. They planted peanuts, and from then on, peanuts were planted instead of cotton, and the farmers prospered tremendously. If it hadn't have been for that boll weevil insect, the farmers would never have discovered peanuts as the crop that would make them prosperous. Here's the lesson for all of us. People who are inflexible and have a hard time adjusting will miss new opportunities. This year is also a year of opportunities. Oh yes, problems and pressures to adjust our habits, absolutely. But also a year of new opportunities, new possibilities. And new possibilities requires of us new actions. I can say without any shadow of doubt that God has a lot of neat things planned for you this next year. But you will miss those if you simply sit back and try to live on your past memories or your past successes. No. If we want to walk in the new possibilities that God has for us, we must move forward as a church, as individuals, as families. We can't just sit back and let the world pass before us. We must act. And it's so easy for us. Listen to me. It's so easy for us to be contented with the past. We can become obsessed with past memories, Certainly, certainly. We must be grateful for the past, and we must be thankful for past successes, and we can be happy about them. But we can't let the past become our security. Alan Alda, who's a television actor and a movie actor, and some of you may remember him from a TV series long ago called MASH. Alan Alda wrote a book called Never Have Your Dog Stuffed. And in an interview, he explained why he chose that title for his book. He said, "I was 8 years old. My dad was trying to get me to stop crying because we were burying our family dog. So my dad said to me, maybe we should have him stuffed. So we stuffed our dog, and we kept him on the front porch of our house. Even the delivery man, Ellen Alda said, were afraid to make deliveries." And then he said these words, "There are a lot of ways we stuff the dog. And we stuff the dog by trying to avoid change, by hanging on to moments that have passed." Can I tell you that that's not the way God wants us to act? Look what the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18 and 19. But forget all that. Forget the past. It's nothing compared to what I am going to do. "For I am," says the Lord, "I am about to do something new." We cannot dwell on the past. We need to watch God, and we need to have our eyes laser focused on what the Lord is going to do. He is going to do a new thing. Every day that we look upon the Lord, every day that we look for God and His new direction, we don't depend on our past experiences. The past experiences that I had with God 6 months ago or 5 years ago or even 10 years ago. No. Today is a new day. This is a new year. And God is building something special in your life this year for a very specific reason, for such a time as this. He wants to help you grow. And He's saying to us in this verse, your best days, all of our best days are ahead of us. They're not behind us. They're ahead of us. They're not behind us. They're ahead of us. The best is still coming. And it's going to get better and better and better the more you give your life to Jesus Christ. The more you surrender, the more you relinquish, the more you focus upon what God is going to do in your life. You see, friends, the Christian life is one of constant renewal, constant growth and development. Listen, we made it through 2020, and that's great. But we need to depend on God this year more than ever before, because God has something special in store. A better year is coming. New possibilities requires new actions. Don't make the mistake, the tragic mistake of thinking that whatever decisions you made last year are enough to carry you through the rest of your life. No, as a follower of Jesus, your life is constantly being renewed. This past week, I did a personal study on the word new through the entire Bible, and it's very interesting. I came up with one conclusion as I looked at this word new. God is a God of newness. God is a God of freshness. He never gets stale. God always has new ways, new situations. He is never in the status quo. God never says, I've got to use the old ways or think of the old routines. No, just like snowflakes, every snowflake is different. And for each one of us, every experience in 2021 will be new for you, and it will be a great new experience for you. And so as I looked at this word new, I made a list of all the new things that God gives to us. a new heart, a new spirit, a new life, a new song, a new name, a new birth, and on and on and on. God is a God of newness. He's never old. He's never stale. Look what it says in Luke chapter 5, verse 36. Then Jesus gave this illustration. No one tears a piece of cloth from a new garment and uses it to patch an old garment. For then the new garment would be ruined, and the new patch wouldn't even match the old garment. In other words, what Jesus is saying, he's saying, you've got this old shirt, and you take a new shirt, and you cut out a piece from the new shirt, and you use that piece to patch the old shirt. And when you put that shirt into the wash, the new piece is going to shrink. And as it shrinks, it gathers up the old shirt, or the new patch rips off. In other words, what Jesus is saying here is this. You don't put new into something old. You don't put a new patch on an old shirt. You don't try to patch up an old way of life. No, God wants you, and he wants me in 2021. He wants us to totally recalibrate in 2021. He wants to give you a brand new way of living with new opportunities. 2 Corinthians, and I'll close with this. Chapter 5, verse 17 says these words. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. You see, friends, God keeps renewing your life. No matter when that new life began for you, whether it was 50 years ago or 60 years ago or last month, God wants to continually, in your life and in my life, he wants to continually grow us from one stage of maturity to another stage of maturity. He wants our life to become better and better and better. So as you take communion today, take a moment to reflect upon your life in Christ. What is it in your life that will hinder your growth in 2021? What is it in you that will cause you to, instead of moving forward, perhaps even shrink back? Is it a problem? Is it an attitude that you need to adjust? Is it perhaps a habit in your life? Listen, it's going to require of all of us, personally, individually, it's going to require of all of us new attitudes, new adjustments, new actions in order for us to see all the possibilities that God has for us in 2021. It's going to be a great year. Don't be dismayed and discouraged about what we are facing presently with the COVID pandemic. That's going to pass. What God is more interested in right now is your life and what you are allowing the Spirit to accomplish in your life. Create a new vision. Have a new vision of all the possibilities of what God wants to accomplish in your life this year. Walk in that. And as we take communion right now, celebrate the fact that God wants to do a new thing in the powerful name of Jesus. Here's Pastor Connie with our communion time.